Most of this generation quits the second they get talked to. You did this wrong, you did this wrong, or they get yelled at. It's so easy to be great nowadays, because everybody else is, most people are weak. This is a softened generation. So if you have any mental toughness, any ability, if you have any fraction of self-discipline, the ability to not want to do it but still do it, if you can get through to doing things that you hate to do, on the other side is greatness.
All right, guys, this is Clint Locklear with Man Strong Podcast. It is getting winter time. I actually had to wear a long sleeve shirt when I went and walked this morning. About 33 degrees. Love it. It's good for big boys. If you're a skinny guy, I'm sure it's miserable. But for big guys, it's pretty nice. Now, I want to talk today. That was kind of like the thought of the day. Basically, what you just heard was, it's so easy to be successful today because most people are so weak and so lazy. You just have to put forth a little bit of effort. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be a freak of nature. You got to be willing to hustle. Get off your phone. Get out in front of the TV. Do things you don't like to do so you can do things you really want to do. That type of stuff. Simple stuff. Stuff that my generation pretty much had taught to us and beat into us. But that's not the case today. So if you want to have kids that are successful, teach them to do a little bit extra. Teach them to show up when they're supposed to. Teach them to be honest and have character and do a little bit extra. And you will have a kid that will be hyper successful in the coming future. Because we all go to businesses today. I mean, it's just common knowledge. I don't care if you're getting your HVAC fixed, you're getting your car worked on, you're going through fast food restaurant. Businesses treat people like crap. That's the new norm. Now, everybody talks about customer service and everybody talks about they're going to take care of you until they get your money. And then they're like, who? Who are you? What? When? I don't know. I'll get somebody out there in like 2064. That's their next opening. Thank you for your money. That's pretty much what it's like. So if someone actually does what they're supposed to do, you're in the top probably 3% of all businesses anyway. Now, you're not going to start off in the top 3%, but trust me, in today's world, when people actually do what they say, we had, when we moved out here to the lake, people that's visited me, pretty much one of them told me that apparently you've got to pump in sunshine out here. I don't live close to pretty much anything. If I want to go see a movie, it's over an hour away. Now, if you're living out in Montana, Wyoming, you're gonna laugh at that. But most people live in the East, and that's unheard of. If I wanted to go to something besides a Walmart for groceries or shopping, it's an hour away. So I live out in the middle of nowhere. And getting people to do stuff is like pulling teeth. If you're a young man, I'm going to tell you what you can do right now. Well, you will generate probably $100,000 to $200,000 a year without a college degree if you will do what you say you will do and you will learn the skill set. Be a handyman on Watts Bar Lake. We got one. He's 67 years old. He's 8 months out. He does what he says he's going to do. He does a good job. He does not rush the job. And if you're going to do something that you're thinking you're going to get away with because it's going to save you some money, he'll explain very quickly why that may not be the best idea. He is a good handyman. And everybody on this lake knows who he is. He never wants for work. he's got to schedule time off. And he charges whatever he wants to charge. So if you're a young man and you know how to do a little bit of electric, build a deck, do some sheetrock repair, put in a fan, fix some, because we had him come over at that last hurricane. We have these funny things on our roof for air ventilation. And when the wind gets really crazy, it does this backdraft thing and it causes water to come down through a bedroom. I couldn't figure out where it was leaking. He figured it out pretty quick. He replaced the shingles, which I would not be comfortable with, just for the simple fact I've never dealt with roofs. I can watch a YouTube video, but we have a lot of money invested in our house, and me trying to figure something out from a YouTube video, I just let him do it. That's the type of stuff that he does. I could not, and this is going to seem strange to you, we had a microwave go out. I could not, for the life of me, figure out how to get that son of a gun off the wall. I've never seen how a wall-mounted microwave is. I couldn't find anything to unloosen. I didn't want to break it off the wall, even though I was getting close to that. We got put on a schedule. He come in, changed it out, kind of laughed at me a little bit. I saw how to do it. I know how to do it now. We had to do a little bit of sheetrock repair. He did that in no time, and when he's doing another job, he came back and he finished the sheetrock once it dried. Wasn't a big deal. And I'm not going to say what he charged, but it was worth every penny to me, and it wasn't a few dollars. And I guarantee you, it's just like that all over America. Because if someone is in business like me, it is cheaper for me to pay you than me to figure it out. I can make more money in my business than I can piddling with the roof that I don't know how it works. Or how, if I'm going to be certain it's not going to leak when I get done. A young man right now with skill sets like that, even if he had to go work for 2 years, at just a little bit, probably $13, $14, $15 an hour. That's pretty much minimum wage now. And you went and worked for a handyman and you learned these skills. That's much cheaper than college and you'll have a lot more education. And you can pick places like Watts Bar Lake that is beautiful. You have an aging demographic. They have money and they don't want to piddle with stuff. Because they bought the house, lake, the lake on the house, to get on the lake. They want to go fishing and floating. They don't want to piddle with a roof. You could easily make $100,000 a year. And probably with not that much difficulty, make $200,000 a year. Which, by the way, if you actually look what doctors make after insurance, you'd be making more than a doctor would. With all those years of education and all those years of losing income because he's in school. You want to have a successful kid? Teach him how to use his hands. The future is that's going to be smart. Because with everybody else coming up in technology around the world, all that's going to keep getting cheaper as far as work goes. You'll have a few superstars, but it's not going to be the same. People that work on HVAC systems already make as much as a doctor. I have a plumber friend that makes as much as a doctor. He works his butt off. Makes as much as a doctor brings home. All you have to do is a little bit extra. All you have to do is actually stand by your word. And you could be just like our local handyman where everybody wants you. I'll give you one more example. We have tried to get people to do things with yard work and stuff like that because I can do it. But I can make more money in my business than I can doing that. I would lose money, lose income doing that. Getting people out. Everybody wants your money, but no one wants to work for your money. They want to do a crappy job. 75% of the people that said they're going to come out never show up. We had a big wind shear within like 5 months of us moving in, and it blew over a bunch of trees. And one of them was a pin oak that a 48-inch chainsaw had to be cut through both sides to cut through this. It was a big tree. The root ball flipped up part of a river rock walkway. I'm looking at that going, okay, I think there's a gravel base under there. I think you chink it with concrete. I could probably get it to look decent. And we called several people to come out. And we finally got to this one guy named Ivan. And he showed up. He didn't spend very much time. He looked at it. He gave us a thing and he said, I'll be back in a month or month and a half. I cannot be here any sooner. Fine. At a month and a half, the day before he shows up, says, I need a check for the rock. He comes by, he gets the check. I'm looking at the weather. The next day is supposed to rain. He goes, no problem. He shows up and puts a tent over that section of the walkway. Has two guys in there busting their hump with him while he's holding 60-pound rocks with one hand and chisel them into the correct shape for what he wants them to be, knocking off high spots and stuff like that, in the rain under a tent where most people would never think of a tent because they would just go, oh, it's raining, man. I'm going to go to the house. Not Ivan. He did immaculate work. He didn't waste any time. He didn't play any games. We gladly wrote him that check. And anybody that says anything about rock, I will bust into the conversation and go, you got to call Ivan. Ivan is your man. Don't waste your time with anybody else. Because he did exactly what he said he was going to do. In a world where nobody does. Now I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have everything you need for trapping. They have all kinds of stuff for hunting and fishing. They have amazing predator call prices. Copper trap tags, of course, snaring supplies. If you're in the outdoors, it's a company you want to deal with. Alan Sayers is the owner, and he is a straight up dude. He works hard and he really wants his customers to be happy. You never have to worry about your money getting lost. You never have to worry about them waiting 3 weeks to get your product out. If there is going to be an issue because of supply chains, which could happen going into this fall, issues, he's probably going to let you know really quick and let you know what, you know, if you can find it somewhere else or do you want to wait? What do you want to do? He's not going to leave you hanging. That's Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Now I want to talk about something that I've been doing quite a bit of research on. Two things. Both of them have to do with fat. Now, if you don't know my story, for about 25 years, I was a card-carrying fat ass. When I finally decided to make a change, I was almost 50 years old and I weighed 341 pounds. I had this great big gut that would come over and just hang over my belt. And I decided to do something about it. So I started lifting weights, I started walking, I started eating carnivore at the time, and I got down to about 260 pounds. Since that time, I've put on about 20, 25 pounds of muscle. I've got a smaller waist now, and I did then. So my weight has went up, but it's not because of fat. But I still have, and I'm just being honest, I still have what is considered brown fat or hard to get rid of fat where the belly used to roll over. You see people all the time. They got their t-shirts on and you see this big bulge coming out at the bottom. Almost like a water balloon type thing. That was me. That fat is very different. Like when I lift weights, I got veins in my arms. I got veins popping out on my shoulders. I got them, you know, popping out on my calves when I'm doing calves. But I've got this like almost like a vest of probably a half inch of this fat that's estrogen based from all those years of eating like a kid. Whatever I wanted, how much I wanted, anytime I wanted. And this fat is not as easy to get rid of as the rest of the body fat was. This is some stubborn shit. So I'm always looking at things. Well, lo and behold, guys, I came across something on one podcast that was talking about Diet Coke. And here's the joke about Diet Coke users. You never see skinny people drinking Diet Coke. It's always fat people. And I've joked about that for years. I've been a Diet Coke drinker for 30-something years. And even through this weight loss, and up till about a month and a half ago, I would probably drink 2 to 3, sometimes 4 Diet Cokes a day. You know, the bottles, 20 ounces. It was like an addiction. Well, this podcast went into all of these things that the artificial sweetener in Diet Coke and the other pops, for you northern guys, I'll say pops or sodas. When I say Coke, that could be Pepsi, Mountain Dew, whatever. That's a southern thing. But whatever's in your Cokes that's artificially sweetened, it causes chemical reactions in your body. They were saying from these studies that actually kept you from losing stubborn fat and actually could make you fat. Now, the interesting thing about that is it's low calorie. Diet Coke is zero calorie. Everybody wants to think it's just calories in, calories out. They forget how complicated the body is. It actually, one of the things in there that was kind of weird when I was listening to these guys talking about these studies is it produces a bacteria or feeds a bacteria in your body that produces a chemical that I'm probably going to say this wrong, but it sounded like they were saying butane, like in a lighter. It's probably spelled different, but it was this chemical and gas that these bacteria were being fed because of the aspartame and all that. And it caused insulin spikes. Like if you eat a donut. So I'm drinking a Diet Coke with no calories, and apparently several studies show this, that once you start drinking these things, you build up this bacteria in your gut that produces this chemical that causes insulin spikes, just like you're eating a donut. And your body's going, here comes the sugar. Let's get the insulin out there to fight it because it tastes like sugar. And your body acts like it's sugar and it starts holding on to fat like you're eating sugar. And I remember listening to this podcast and I was going, yeah, but it's zero calories. I'm having a hard time logically following this. Well, then lo and behold, it wasn't 2 days later, coming across, because obviously your phone listens to whatever you listen to, and all the social media, even though they say they don't, they do. Whatever you're doing, somehow it knows and throws whatever you've talked about in your face in a day or two. Because the damn thing's listening. And I started getting all this stuff on TikTok about soft drinks and losing weight or gaining weight. And there was this one lady, and she had degrees behind her name that that went on forever. And she ran an experiment where for 2 months she didn't touch any aspartame or any of the artificial sweeteners in Coke. She did not change her diet. She lost 22 pounds. How is that possible? Because she admitted some of the other drinks she was actually drinking was causing her calorie intake to go up because what she was drinking before was zero calories. So, at the beginning of October, I have not touched any type of soft drink, except in, I think, a couple Long Island iced teas out for dinner. So, I'm not drinking the 3 or 4 Diet Cokes a day. This is anecdotal because it's just me. It's anecdotal because this is what that lady's saying. But the scientific studies behind this are not anecdotal. I don't weigh myself. I just look in the mirror every now and then before I get dressed. And I can tell if I'm gaining fat or losing fat because of two places. One, I've got decent back muscle because of all of the heavy lifting that I do. And if my back goes straight down to where my butt's at, I know I'm holding more fat. If it goes in because it's curving around my lats going towards my spinal erectors, I know that I'm losing fat, or at least I'm not gaining fat. And the little line on whatever that pouch thing is, where you used to have this really big gut and you've got this type of fat that don't want to go, that little line, if I'm eating a lot like we did on vacation when me and Cindy went up to Michigan, I see that line form where it goes all the way to my back because it's rolling over. Now, this is only November 4th or 5th. Look at my 5th. That's the 5th. That line has gotten smaller since I'm not drinking Diet Cokes. Now, my calorie intake has really not changed except for a few times, which we're getting ready to discuss. But what did I replace the Diet Coke with when I eat? Probably 20 to 24 ounces of delicious cold milk. That crap is high in calorie, high in fat, and it's got a decent amount of protein. So logically, I should have put on body fat because I've actually increased my daily intake by probably an honest 500 to 700 calories a day. I should have gained fat, but I haven't gained fat. I've lost fat. That's been in a month. Why am I bringing this up to you guys? If you look in the mirror and you're going, it's kind of like the old Toby Keith song, you know, not what I used to be, or however he says that in that song. And you're looking and you're getting carrying around basically just globs and globs of fat, but you're, quote, drinking your diet drinks. Why don't you run this experiment yourself? If you don't have a way of looking at yourself and realizing if you're actually losing fat or not, because a scale is not going to help you with this. Not really. Measure around your belly button and don't drink Diet Cokes for 2 months. And just see. You may think that's going to be hard. Replace it with something else. I would go as far as saying if you wanted to, replace it with the regular soda. Because I see a whole lot of skinny people drinking regular soda and a whole lot more fat people drinking diet soda. Just Excuse me. Just something to think about. I'm not a doctor or a dietitian. I've talked to enough of them to realize that most of them are about as intelligent on nutrition as a fourth grader that learns the food pyramid. They're so basic in what they say, but somehow they're experts. The human body is complicated. You've got hormones, you've got metabolism, you've got metabolism that slows down, you got metabolism that revs up, and that's not purely based off calories. So I've lost fat eating more calories. Should not happen. So just let that float around in your brain pan a while and see if that may be something that'll help you. The other thing, interestingly enough, of adding that much milk, I can actually see more muscle. One, as you lose fat, your muscle looks bigger because it stands out a little bit more. But two, it's clear that just adding that extra protein has made a difference. So apparently, I have not been eating enough protein, even though I eat around 200 to 250 grams a day. Because this is pushing me up closer to 300. Now, the other thing about fat. We've all tried diets, guys. We've watched women are like on a constant diet. And what do most women do on diet? They starve themselves. They automatically want to start off with 1,000 calories or 1,200 calories. Guys hear that, they try it, and they figure out what 1,200 calories is, and it usually lasts about 2 days. But women want to eat salads and smoothies and the quote, women-approved diet foods. And they're miserable. I know women have been taught to say they love salads. Yeah, I like salads too. When I can put ranch dressing, sunflower seeds, eggs, pickled beets, carrots, little crunchy onion ring things, ham, bacon bits. Yeah, that's not exactly the salad that they're referring to. But dieting like that is hard. And I'm going to tell you my theory on why it doesn't work. And there's a lot of studies that you can delve into if you want to on why it works this way. Your body learns what you want it to do. If you go into a diet at 1,000 calories and you've been eating 25 or 3,000, you're going to lose weight pretty rapidly for about 2 weeks. Have you ever noticed every single diet plan says you're going to lose between 15 and 17 pounds in the first 2 weeks? The first time you do Atkins, you're going to lose 15, 17 pounds in 2 weeks. The first time you do South Beach, it's the same. You go vegan, it's the same. You go low calorie, it's the same. Have you ever noticed that? If you've been on a lot of diets and you think back, you're going to go, yeah, I lost about 15, 17 pounds in the first couple weeks. Half of that is you're not eating as much, or you're eating more dense food like the Atkins diet, and your body can absorb it, so you're not having so much poop in your body. So you lose poop weight. That's not really helping your gut. Or if you go vegan, you're crapping it out all the time because of all the fiber, so it's poop weight. But after that 15 to 17 pounds, most time it slows way down. Your body adjusts to what you're doing. And if you're on a low calorie diet for very much time at all, your body goes, okay, this is the norm. This is the energy we get per day. We need to pull back on metabolism. and it holds everything. And then you break out on the weekend and you just gorge yourself because you're starving, especially if you're a guy and you want to eat two pizzas and four cheeseburgers and a pint of ice cream. Throw some good whiskey on top of that. You just ate 8,000 calories for a good Saturday and Sunday. And boom! All that sodium, you start holding water. You just gain weight like there's no tomorrow. But your body gets used to that low calorie. And where are you going to go once it gets used to that low calorie? Less calories, because more calories is now a surplus to your metabolism. Less calories means you could lose a little bit more weight, but then where are you going to go from 800 calories from 1,000? 700? Say you're a big boy like I was. You going to live off 500 calories for the rest of your life? No. You'll be the most miserable, grumpiest human being in the world. And what's the point in that? So, I'm always looking at different ways to try to speed up the metabolism. The most obvious way is to build more muscle. The more muscle you have, the more it takes to burn when you have it, just to sit on the couch. When you do have bad meals, quote, and you've been working out, it doesn't go, all that fat and insulin doesn't go to rush into you to add more fat storage. It fills up your muscles again. It's called refeed. So the more muscle a person has, the more leniency they have in their diet. But you still get caught in this. Your body gets used to whatever you're doing. On the carnivore diet, I hit a certain point that it was just what it was. I wasn't losing any more fat for several months. My body went, okay, this is a new norm. I could eat more meat. It didn't really go to fat, but it didn't really do anything else. I could eat less meat and I'd be hungry. And that's not a way to live. Because it seems to me the hardest part of a diet is the monotony of the average and the misery. You're a grown man, you want to eat 1,800 calories a day. Well, unless you're 130 pounds, you're screwed. Because you take more calories than that to function. But you get used to that 1,800 and you got to keep cutting. Or you're going to try to exercise on a depleted calorie system, which is miserable, and you're probably not going to stick with it. I've noticed with my own weightlifting, if I try an exercise and it feels amazing, say it's seal rows where I've got these things where I use 2x6s where I can lay on it and do rows with a bar, there's no body movement whatsoever. 3-4 weeks of doing that, first couple of weeks, it feels amazing. You can feel your back muscles working. After about 4 weeks, you don't have that same feeling. I can do stuff for triceps, and what I've noticed is after 3 or 4 weeks, you don't get the same results as you did the first and second week. So in weightlifting, it's called the confusion principle. You wave stuff out. You do things in waves of 3 and 4 weeks, and you will switch an exercise using the same muscle so you can get that really good effect again at the beginning. But for some reason, we don't do this with dieting, and it doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm listening to some bodybuilders, and they're talking about, and they're using all these weird terms. Now, if you want to go look up some studies on this, what most studies consider this is called sliding calories. And I think psychologically, And for your metabolism, this may be something you want to try. What it means is, depending on what you want to do, and I would suggest, like most things in life, don't start off like you're a monk with the ultimate discipline, unless you are a monk with the ultimate discipline. Start off slow. And what I've been doing, and it definitely seems to be helping, and I've only been doing this for a couple of weeks. I'm not saying this is going to work for you, and I don't know if it's going to work for me. But it's something to think about, and for some people, it seems to work very, very well, either psychologically or physically. Now, the psychological part is pretty easy to understand. Well, let me explain the principle first. Certain days, you eat a lot lower calories. What does that mean for me? Well, when I get up in the morning and I put my, I've got a 32-inch Yeti that I probably put 20 ounces of decaf coffee, 3 or 4 ounces of heavy cream, 2 scoops of whey protein isolate. It's 50 grams of protein. And then at lunch, I'll take a shake that's 1 scoop isolate protein and 1 scoop of casein protein because it fills you up more because it's slower to digest. And then after I work out, I will take another one of those shakes with the casein and the isolate. And then I will eat a reasonable dinner. My calorie intake on a regular day is probably bouncing between 4,000 and 5,000 calories. So for me, that is a very low calorie day. And it takes some discipline. And then the next day, I may eat a regular meal. And then the next day, I'm going to eat high calories. A lot higher calories. Probably 2,000 more calories than I would normally eat. And then I'm going to go back to a low calorie. Then a medium calorie, then a high calorie. The way I'm doing it, that's kind of the way the studies do it. It can be 2 or 3 days of low calorie, a really high calorie. They do them in different ways. But basically, the principle is pretty simple. You don't let your body get used to what you're eating. Because let's think about it when you're on a regular diet. You're hungry every day. You're miserable every day. You keep cutting calories to lose more weight week after week or month after month. It's drudgery every day. But on the day that I'm trying the low calorie, it's not that big a deal because I've just had a big calorie before. And I've got plenty of energy to work out with. And I actually don't get that hungry. I get hungry around 12, eat the shake, it goes away. I start getting hungry about 4, drink the shake, it goes away. Then I have a decent diet. Last night we had smoked salmon that I smoked on the Traeger, some asparagus, and some wild rice. That's what we had. The way that I'm kind of thinking about doing this for myself, just because of the way that I've chosen to exercise, and I do it pretty serious, is I'm on a 4-day split. I do a push, which is all pushing movements, a pull, which is all pulling movements, and then I do a GPP day, which is wheelbarrows and pulling sleds and throwing medicine balls and striking and kneeing and stuff like that, and you know, a little bit more mobilization for me, and then I take a day off. And then on that 5th day, I'm doing a push, then a pull, then a GPP, then a day off. So what I'm thinking about doing is I'm gonna have high calorie and close to high calorie on the, I'm gonna have high calorie on the push day. I'm gonna have a good calorie on the pull day. And I'm going to drop the calories below what I've been eating on the GPP day. But I've had 2 days of all that food and all that energy. And then on my day off, I do the shakes in one meal. my body is not going to be able to figure out how to cope with that. Because there's probably a 3,000 calorie difference between days every 4 days. And another interesting thing that happens when you go low calorie and then you go high calorie, your metabolism hits overdrive. You're like really hungry then. Your metabolism is just like a furnace. It's just cooking. You physically get hotter. And on the lower days, you don't. Another thing about your metabolism that's scientifically proven, if you work out with resistance training, we're not talking walking or running or aerobics or something like that. Lifting weights is very unique in one aspect. It keeps your metabolism up and protein synthesis up for over 24 hours. So if you're playing with your calories on this sliding scale and you're manipulating your metabolism and you're lifting resistance training, you're gonna lose fat. The really cool part about this, if you want to go out on Saturday with your friends and drink beer and pizza, that's your high calorie day. Or maybe one of two. Sunday may be your low calorie day because you're just, you know, you're resting from the week and you want to watch football. If you're into that, watching football all day. You don't need a bunch of calories watching football, which means you're going to have to control your snacking. A little bit of discipline. Another thing about COVID, and I wish I would have taken a screenshot of this because it actually was from a study. They finally figured out why overweight people get slammed by COVID so bad. You have certain receptors that are in fat, and the more fat you have, the more of these receptors you have. And when the COVID virus gets into that, those receptors actually help the COVID get into your system based on how much physical body fat that you have on your person. It'd be interesting if the FDA or the CDC would actually do some actual real non-political work to help people with this, but they're just concerned with everybody getting a vaccine. But if you're overweight, yeah, you're more susceptible to COVID and viruses like COVID because of what you've done over time. And the way that I look at weight loss, like when I went on vacation in Michigan, we ate really good all the time. We were on vacation. I didn't worry about it. But I knew I had to pay the price and pay that debt off when I got back. And it took about 2 weeks to pay that debt off. Just to be at the same place I was before I was on vacation. When you eat like a pig and you shove your face with processed foods for years, you're gonna pay a debt. That's not very nice, and it's not very uplifting to say, and it's not very motivational speakerish, but it's a fact of life. Everything that you do has consequences. And one of them apparently now is COVID. So if you're like I was, and like I still am, and you're trying to get rid of some of that, and I'm not talking about, I don't give a crap about having abs showing. That's not what I'm talking about. Just excess fat that just weighs you down and doesn't do you any good. Think about how to use your calories to not be so bored and not be so daily miserable, but still get the results. And if you start doing this and it works for you, please let me know. Because I'm probably going to do this until spring. Because logically and mechanistically, this makes too much sense not to try it. Because when I eat the same things every day, I can tell that my body gets used to it and I quit losing fat. And I probably still got 30 pounds of fat that I need to get rid of. So give it a shot. What have you got to lose besides some belly? And if you're a guy, just keep in mind, the less fat you got down there, the bigger your pecker looks. So that's not a bad thing. And I'll see y'all next week.